live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 228. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. Tonight, myself and my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong, will be talking Colts, Titans recap, and also a short week for the Indianapolis Colts as they got a matchup tomorrow night with the Broncos. So we'll talk Colts. We've got NFL week four recap to talk and a little bit of a week five preview. We've got college football, our picks, our recap. Tanner's going to join us. We'll do our picks with him as well. We've got some quick hitters. The NBA, the National Basketball Association, is back. And it is back. It started yesterday with some preseason. Our Indiana Pacers are starting back tonight. Pacers game's actually getting ready to start here momentarily. So we'll talk a little bit NBA preseason as well. We've got some MLB playoffs that are starting. MLB playoffs will be starting. Today's the last day of the regular season of Major League Baseball. So they'll be starting this Friday. So we'll talk that and more. Here's my main man, co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Man, I'm doing just fine, man. Brandon, I'm glad to be back, dude. I know we got a multitude of topics to jump right into, man. I know I just listened to you give us a rundown. So, Brandon, let's get into it, man.
Yeah, let's dive right into it, John. Do you want to go NBA or do you want to start NFL?
Well, we're probably going to start with the Colts, man. I got enough of the NBA because our professionalism has been challenged over the past weekend. And Brandon's laughing because he knows what I'm talking about. We'll get into it, but no, man, the Colts is red hot. This is Crossroads Sports, right? And we know everybody, we talk about the Colts and whatnot. But, yeah, this just jumping and in the NFL as well. So this is start there, and we'll just, you know, we'll go from there.
All right. This past weekend, Indianapolis Colts, big home game against the Tennessee Titans, big divisional game. Colts lose. Really wasn't in the game until late, and they had to try to make a few plays. Shaq Leonard was back in for the first two quarters. He went out with a broken nose / concussion. He's out.
Wow.
Jonathan Taylor got a little dinged up. Jonathan Taylor is out, and we'll talk about it more, a little more dinged up than initially thought. Colts lose to the Titans, John. They are now 0-2-1 through the first realm of the divisional games against the AFC South. So 0-2-1, and the rest of those games are coming up soon, but not where you expect Indianapolis Colts to be. Frank Wright not looking good for him where he's at right now. I've got it on the board right now. A couple things. Naheem Hines had a comment. Not an excuse. For every year, we have a new quarterback. So each year, we have growing pains. And while we all sit here and watch Tennessee, which has had Tannehill, my whole career? And each year, we're restarting, and we have to turn the page. There also was a tweet that came out breaking Colts owner Jim Irsay has grown frustrated with GM Chris Ballard and head coach Frank Wright, per source.
Yeah.
Both of them are on the hot seat going into this week. So, John, what's your thoughts? Indianapolis Colts lose to the Titans this past week, and we got a short week coming up against Denver tomorrow.
Right. Brandon, this past weekend's game was just an ugly baby. It really was. Per the statistics, man, the Tennessee Titans didn't score a point in the second half. 24 points was enough to dust the Colts off, right? What you saw out there was a slow Matt Ryan. What you saw out there was longer than the two. I won't say they're old because they're not, but I'll say it's a longer than two offensive line. Anybody who listened to me last year, you know what I'm saying, is probably like floored now as I am being critical of the Colts offensive line. And with that being said, a defense that doesn't have Shaq Leonard and a defense that doesn't have all the other pieces that they said were going to step up this year, Quiddy Pay, you know what I'm saying, others, Ken Moore, you know what I'm saying, haven't made impact. You know what I mean? Somebody made a comment this past week to me, man. What Colt is on anybody's fantasy list right now? Except for maybe Jonathan Taylor. Outside of that, who's on any Colt's fantasy list? What Colts players on anybody's fantasy football team? Nobody, right?
And Taylor.
Yeah. So it's a real big tree of woe, and it doesn't look good. It doesn't look like it. I mean, yeah, you had that high point 2 weeks ago when you beat Kansas City, was still like a head scratch. It seems like somebody, you know what I'm saying, made a call into Vegas and not to the bettors and to like the mafia to fix the game or something like that. But especially with what Kansas City looked like this past weekend and their victory. But like, nah, man, you don't want to seesaw. That's what the Colts team is going to be. You don't want to seesaw your way through one win, you know what I'm saying, your high point, and then go to two losses. But because right now you're too far behind the eight ball if you're the coach. You've lost all your divisional – you essentially lost all your – I get it, it's a tie game with Texas, but you essentially lost all your divisional games already, your first three. You lost to Jacksonville, you lost to Tennessee, you lost to Texas. What do you – like, so what's your team – what does your season look like, man? It looks like crap right now. Can it get better? We've seen it – we've seen in the Frank Reich era where it has gotten better over, you know what I'm saying, the fourth or fifth week. And this is still a long season, man. And anybody looks at the match – there's a match report that came out today. Like, everybody's got a significant injury. Every team has significant injuries going into week four. Brandon, it's just – can it be fixed, right? Is there, say, you know what I'm saying, upset? He should be upset. I think some of the – he should be kind of upset at himself as well. But it's, you know what I'm saying, the Colts don't look like – it doesn't look like it can be repaired. There is some suspicion of hope because there is that Kansas City, but that's, you know what I'm saying, that Kansas City game, but we're two weeks away, removed from that. So it got and like I said, short week going to Denver Thursday, they got to come out there with victorious, or it's probably going to lose their job.
Yeah, totally agree. Colts obviously without Jonathan Taylor this week, they go into Denver. Denver's had problems themselves with even Russ being there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Colts there. I put it on Twitter, just like I took the Colts with the Kansas City game. I'm going to take the Colts +3.5 and money line tomorrow night. It's a must win for Indianapolis to start saving some jobs. So I'm going to take the Colts tomorrow night. No JT, I know. No Shaq Leonard, I know. But I still think that who would be – If I said John, name me the Colts problems. Give me your top four Colts problems. Your fifth problem for the Colts would probably be, as much as it's mine, would be the play of Matt Ryan. Even though he has been fumbling the football like crazy, Matt Ryan would be like number five of things that are problems with the Colts. He also has, and the reason why he's fumbling, John, we have protection issues still. There are still protection issues on that left tackle. It looks like just a swaying door going in and out there. But Matt Ryan, he's still throwing up 300-some yards. You hope that he would protect the ball a little bit better, especially with him being a veteran that he is. But, any thoughts on Matt Ryan's play so far? He even said there was a tweet that they have to watch out for Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan needs to watch out, which I think is crazy for what you've paid this man.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere.
Right. That's like jumping off the Empire State Building. Crazy. Right. He doesn't look like his former, even the version we saw last year in Atlanta. He looks like an older quarterback that's long and, you know, saying not, I'm just, yeah, long in the tooth and doesn't have the mobility can it really be a new system? Has he really seen anything that he hasn't, you know, I mean, he's played so long. Is there anything that he hasn't seen before? Right. So, but I get it. There's some adjustment, but like Brandon, like adjustments supposed to be made. You learn that in training camp, right? I don't want to hear no excuses. I don't want to hear excuses from Naeem Hines. I don't want to hear excuses about Matt Ryan. I don't, you know, all the gelling was supposed to happen during training camp and then in the off season workouts and whatnot, man. And the coach supposedly report to all. Remember all that feel good? This a couple weeks ago. That's a lot of feel good. Now it's not feeling so good because the product on the field doesn't look great. But like Matt Ryan, you know, it just looks real old to me and real slow.
something else in the transition, John, and we can continue to talk Colts whenever. Another thing that didn't look good was the Miami Dolphins / Tua Tagovailoa injury situation. Well, first off, that Sunday he got folded like an accordion, got up, and you know, obviously he had a concussion, all that, and then took that right. shot on Thursday, and my God, just seized up. And now there's people losing jobs for these NBA players or these NFL players and these concussion things. What was your thoughts on that with Tua and the Dolphins?
Just they're thirsty for winning down there in Miami. They're thirsty for winning. You have to sometimes just protect players from themselves. And trust that your backup can, you know, can Cooper Rush you through a couple like they have in Dallas. Like your backup can win you a couple games if you take a significant injury at your starter position, man. So just bad. It wasn't the Miami Dolphins. From what I know, Brandon, it wasn't the Miami Dolphins medical staff. It's always an outside staff member or outside doctor staff member. We got some breaking news.
We got breaking news. Breaking news, Miles Turner just backed a player down and actually had a post hook shot. He was in the post and posted up and took one of those. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man.
So that – I had to cut in. I just saw Miles. Pacers are up 2-0.
Right, hold on, dude. When you said, hey, when you're talking about Pacers, you must be always professional, okay? Always professional on our show. Right, we were talking about Pacers. But I thought you was gonna cut in and say he got traded or something. But I forget.
Whoa! No. First post up. I love it. Let's go, Miles. Let's go, Pacers and Miles. Told you it's gonna be a good year, professional year.
There we go.
Right. Go back to your Tua.
No, man, but like Tua. It was looking real good, and I guess they just wanted to figure that. You know, since he said he gave him a thumbs up, said he could play. That wasn't the case, man. It was definitely not the best in his best judgment to have him out there again on a short, you know, mean short week. So I think he's on the shelf for a couple of weeks, obviously. And of course, you got to see what your backup got.
Okay. Pittsburgh Steelers, John. We lose to the Jets. First half just looked like complete crap. Offensively,
Trubisky,
and then it was I sent you a text. I was watching the game. All of a sudden, it's Kenny time. Kenny comes in, first drive, throws a Hail Mary to Claypool down by the 5-yard line. Should have been caught by Claypool. I mean, he had it in his hands. Ends up getting tipped for a interception, and then he had another interception on just a bad ball that got tipped up in the air. Shouldn't have thrown it. And then the third one was the Hail Mary at the end of the game. But he had two rushing touchdowns
right.
for Pickett. Passing overall, the offense looked like it had a little jolt. It looked like there was some progress. So the Kenny Pickett era has begun. We're four games in. The Pickett era has begun. He is named the starter officially. And we go to Buffalo this week, 14-point underdogs. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you're gonna see what's gonna happen. Yeah, I don't know, Brandon. I know you die hard in Pittsburgh, but I wouldn't put any type of cash on that one.
No, I'm not.
But like, no, man, Kenny Pickett probably got adjusted to the speed of the game. His efficiency numbers aren't terrible. They wasn't necessarily great either, but just got adjusted to the speed of the game and how fast, you know, saying you have with that, even, you know, saying. Talk about, you know, some offensive lines that are challenged with that still in battered and bruised up offensive line that the Pittsburgh has, man. So you will see. You know what I'm saying? Pittsburgh will see what they have, you know, what they really have in Kenny Pickett. I graded him high. You know what I'm saying? Not necessarily like he's going to be the next second coming, but I graded him high coming out of this draft. I thought he was, you know what I'm saying, one of the top two quarterbacks in this draft. I don't know how Pittsburgh finagled him. He was in the backyard, right? They finagled him, right? And they manipulated their way and got him, man. So that's great. But, like, no, man, you got to like the fact that he's mobile. and got you the two rushing touchdowns. So you kind of, you know what I'm saying, you know, you kind of know what you have. Quarterback's got to be mobile. In this day and age, like, you know what I mean, you never really know. Maybe the offensive line don't stink that bad, Brandon. Maybe it's the fact that Matt Ryan can't move from side to side. You know what I mean? You never know. So, but, like, now the Kenny Pickett started in Pittsburgh, and, you know, here you go. Hopefully it can get you, you know what I'm saying, at least six wins.
And I said it on last week's show because I played it back for me to listen. I said if it goes downhill at halftime, would not be shocked if Tomlin decided to put him in. So he went in. It's the Kenny Pickett era. Mitch, you're back to second string. And we'll see what happens. Like, hey, growing pains this year. So I just want the kid to get experience out there and use this year as just experience. It's a rebuilding year, and we'll see what happens. Maybe we can get seven wins.
Yeah. Seven wins? I don't know,
yeah.
Brandon. They've been in some Pittsburgh has been in some close games. They could have went either with, you know what I'm saying, they could have went their way. Had, you know what I'm saying, a decision, you know what I mean, a call with, you know what I mean, could have went their way. I still think they're on a trajectory to get, you know what I'm saying, at least 7-8 wins. I really do. Kenny Pickett, you know what I'm saying, put him in a baptism of fire next week or not. I think they're still on pace to get – I'll still stick with 7-8 wins for sure.
Buffalo and the Ravens. John, Ravens went up big at halftime. Buffalo came storming back. Bills win, kick a field goal at the end, Tyler Bass. Buffalo goes to 3-1 now. The Ravens go to 2-2. Lamar played decent first half. I don't know what happened with this Ravens team. Kind of fell off there at halftime.
Yeah, this actually game I didn't get to see, man. I got to watch some of the highlights, man. Sounds like the Ravens let one get away from them. Stop playing. Stop being, you know what I mean? Who's better? Like, when I think about, though, like, to play Lamar Jackson, man, who's the hottest? Who's the hottest solo superstar in the short sample size? I mean, who's the hottest, you know what I'm saying, NFL player other than Lamar Jackson? I don't think anybody is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He right now. So this is the same. They'll manage, again, long season, 17 games, 2-2. There's teams that would, you know what I'm saying, wouldn't have their coach on the hot seat for 2-2, right? So I think they figured that out, but there's some games they could, like I said, they're 2-2. There's some games they like to take back and probably you know what I'm saying, manage differently. I think Harbaugh would for sure.
Chiefs and future Hall of Famer Patty Mahomes back at it again. They knock off Tampa and Brady. My God, it looked like a video game out there for Patrick Mahomes. Chiefs right recover, big win down in Tampa. I think Chiefs are up there, still going to be competing. Obviously, you know, they're going to have some bad weeks, but
right.
They're still going to compete with Buffalo there for the AFC going up to the Super Bowl.
So what does it look like? Do you think Tampa can still win the NFC South?
Yes.
Even with the distractions of Tom Brady and, you know, Giselle?
Yes. This is just making focus more.
I don't know if he has enough on that particular team that's kind of long into itself to get – they can win it. Can they win a division? Absolutely, man. There's nothing happening in Charlotte. There's a little sizzle. I mean, very little sizzle in New Orleans. You know what I'm saying? So I can see them win a division. I can't see it. I can't right now. And I know it's, even though we was week 4, I couldn't see Tampa Bay advancing against anybody in the NFC. Another champion, I couldn't definitely not nobody.
I think they got a good shot at it. Honestly, when it gets playoff time, you know, with Tampa, Brady and them, if anybody knows how to block stuff out when it's time, it's Tom Brady. And John, you've counted him out for how many years and he's gotten how many Super Bowls. So I think he's got a good – say what?
He lost a lot of Super Bowls, too.
And he won more than he lost. Let's make a big deal of it. Let's real quick make a big deal of this. Philadelphia Eagles undefeated, last undefeated team in National Football League. Former Colts coach leading the way, Sirianni.
Yeah. I know there was a lot of doubt with him coming into that job last year. I know he didn't necessarily he was in an evaluation mode as far as, you know what I'm saying, what he had. But he's got a damn good quarterback. They used the picks wisely they got from the Colts in the Carson Wentz trade, right? And improved their team in that regard. And they're the only undefeated team left in the NFL, man. You have to tip your hat to them, man. I know there was a lot of criticism on their quarterback, man. Could he make all the throws? You know what I'm saying? He's highly talented Alabama. What do you consider him to be, Jalen Hurts to be? Do you consider him an Alabama alumni or Oklahoma alumni, right? People, you know what I'm saying, talented, but not necessarily highly praised coming out of college, right? People just say, oh, man, he's another guy that can't throw, just really athletic, but that ain't the case, man. So they look legit. Their division is seemingly going to come down to them in Dallas, Brandon. Them Dallas and potentially even the Giants. I think the Giants probably will regret. I think the Giants have just enough offense to compete with either, you know what I'm saying, Dallas or Philadelphia. But, like, man, Philadelphia looks like, you know, obviously, you know what I'm saying, it's them and like, you know what I'm saying, you got to beat them, right? As far as their division is concerned. But, like, man, like, Philadelphia looks real good.
Yep. I thought so as well. They look good. Offense is good. Defense is clicking. I'm going to expect a little digress from Philly at some point here coming up. But, no, I thought they could have a good season when it first came out. I didn't know it would be this good, but I figured they would have a good season coming into it. I think I might have even had them as a division. I don't know if I had them or the Cowboys. But I didn't expect the Giants to do what they're doing. So the Giants are looking decent out there themselves.
Right.
Anything else NFL-wise you want to cut through?
If it comes to me, man, but I think we have to. I don't have anything else.
Prediction for tomorrow?
Oh, man. In this rock fight, 17-15 Colts, man. Colts by two.
There you go. All right. We've got Tanner coming on here in a little bit. We do our normal picks. John, I want to go into we got some time before I want to go college football, about 7 minutes before we dive into college football. I want to talk NBA. Indiana Pacers tonight, John. Preseason opener tonight in Charlotte. Pacers, a lot of hopes to see how this team does, but with expectations that are, hey, it's going to be a little bit one of those years for the Pacers. We love our Pacers. We obviously have to keep a professionalism to them.
right.
Yeah, as people, some of you don't know, it's an email that came through. So, and I feel like we've been pretty professional the whole time with them. I think sometimes professionalism and realism, I think that maybe they think that's a blurred line between those two. So, and we're not gonna be media that kisses ass to every team, you know.
Right.
Dockage kisses ass to IU and the Colts, right? I mean, we ain't gonna do that. I'll be nice.
But Brandon. He was nice, and we're not going to mention any names. A lot of my family knows already, and so actually I shared some of the information with our sponsors as well, Brandon. Our sponsors weren't happy. Our sponsors think we are very professional. Our sponsors look at us. Our sponsors being Scott K. Neville State Farm Insurance. Our sponsors being Mavis Coats and Motorsports, and our sponsors being Washington Logistics. Think we are very professional, and they like how we do. They like how we operate. They like how, you know what I'm saying, we get them there. The products and their services they offer out to the public, man, through the use of our show that is very professional, right, man? So we talk a lot of NBA. It usually starts with locally and then it kind of branches out like that. But the last two seasons, man, for the Patriots, just not necessarily haven't been something positively that we can really talk about, man. Hey, I'm – listen, anybody knows me, like I could probably got a foggy remembrance of the ABA years and the telethon when the Patriots had to go, you know what I'm saying, Slick Leonard, God rest his soul, and his wife, you know what I'm saying, were on TV trying to raise money so that the Patriots could stay. Could you imagine, right? I know, man, that's before your time, right? But when you start talking about when I really caught my – winning the Patriots from the business standpoint on both sides of the ball. I'm talking like when they turned the keys over to like Jalen Rose and Austin Crozier. You remember that team and Isaiah Thomas was the coach. So we know our stuff here. We know the Paul George era of the Pacers, you know what I'm saying, and like all the, you know what I'm saying, the politics that went on with that and Victor Oladipo, him, you know what I mean, him bouncing here, you know what I'm saying, his time. We Brandon, we reported on this kind of stuff, the histrionics of this. We had Ricky Pierce on the show, a former Pacer.
Former Pacer.
We had Ricky Pierce on the show, man. So like from what people say, like, yo, you know what I'm saying, your professionalism kind of comes in. We put a question mark. So, like, we were trying to – so here's the deal. I know people are like, well, what the hell are you, Brandon, you're talking about, other than, you know what I'm saying, the folks that kind of know. So, Brandon, asked me, Brandon, last year, our good buddy from the Indianapolis Recorder, Oshia, right, who she doesn't work for the Indianapolis Recorder anymore. She's not editor-in-chief anymore, of course. She actually works for an Indy Star now in a different capacity. Brandon, she's got her own podcast now, right? But anyway, the point is, she actually introduced me to the same guy. Like she did an email introduction to the guy. He never responded to me back. I'm glad he actually responded. That was over a year ago. Before we went to Butler. We went to Butler with her invite, remember? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
She put me on a tag, an email introduction to email me to that, you know what I'm saying, to the Pacers. Like, yo, my guys are legit. We are. Crossroads Sports is legit. We come to, if we show up to your event or your, you know what I'm saying, whether it's, because we've done this before. It's professional for Butler. You know what I'm saying? It's professional for Ball State. We've covered games for them. It's professional for Purdue. We've covered games for them and had, you know, some emissaries from those little universities come on to our show. It's professional. It's fine. Well, I ain't professional for the Pacers. Brandon, in your lifetime, the Pacers won the championship? In your lifetime? That's
nope.
A no. Brandon, this current Pacers in the last 4 or 5 years, man, like, it's not media friendly. Like, it's a lot of media apathy out here, right?
Right.
They need as much coverage as they can get. You get much coverage you can get. Like, me and Brandon come in, we the feel good, right? It is a little feel good. Like, you know, we're not going to, you know, totally not give you a total whitewashing of the truth. That's not how we operate here. But me and Brandon give you a feel good. Reggie Sykes, you know what I'm saying, one of the great guests to come on our show, man, King of Trolls, man. He's a Pacers super fan, is he not?
Yep.
He's a Pacers super fan. He comes on the show, man. He tweets out I feel like he does it every week. He tags me. He tags Three Foods, man. He tags Crossroads Sports. He tags Brandon Reeve. You know what I'm saying? Then he starts tagging a whole bunch of other radio stations, including the Pacers, trying to figure out when are we going to see the Pacers game? Like, what does that look like? Because everybody can't get downtown. Everybody can't watch the Pacers downtown. So, like, Reggie tweets out, I have never heard anybody from the Pacers ever chime in and say anything. I haven't. Like, on that, and he does it, like, all the time.
Yeah.
It's not in him harassing, that's what I'm trying to say, it's not in him harassing, like, man, you know, angry mode, like, even though he's using, you know what I'm saying, all some King of Troll type stuff. He's trying to get answers. Our show brings that kind of flavor on, and like I said, Reggie talks about the Pacers when he comes on the show. D-Cott talks about the Pacers when he comes on our show. We've had former Pacers on our show. Brandon's a longtime Pacers fan. I used to follow the Pacers, man. When we got that letter, dude, I know somebody's like, man, y'all, we are whining bird song. I'm not. I just like, dude, professionalism, don't ever question that about Brandon Reeve and Brown Jonathan Burson Crossroads Sports. Never, ever.
You know,
that's my point, too.
if this team was multiple NBA champions and everybody was trying to get a seat to the table and I got that email, okay, I understand. It is what it is. Like if it was AKA Los Angeles Lakers or the Boston Celtics or name the Golden State Warriors, right?
Right.
Everybody wants to cover them, right? See, there's not always an extra seat at the table. But with here, this franchise, this team needs as much coverage as they can get, and positive or negative. But if we're talking negative about it, it's because something's happened to where it's already been, it's already out there, right? We're not just making up our own stuff. I will say, and I've done this before, I took that letter and I printed it off and I hung it up here in my office, and I'm going to keep looking at it because that is motivation. And
there you go,
to still,
right?
still get this Crossroads Sports where it needs to be, putting in for credentials with the Pacers. We didn't get it this year, unfortunately. It sucks, but
it doesn't mean
we're going to stop talking about them, and we're going to cover them. We're going to cover them on a regular basis.
No, there's much. So back to the lessons. Like, you know, there's much. I know Deacock came on here a couple weeks ago, said maybe 30 games or something like that. I heard in a press conference, like, it's funny, Carlisle, I heard him talk more about what he did in Dallas than what I've heard him. Then he talked about what he did last year. You know what I'm saying? So, Brandon, I don't know what waters we're going with here, buddy. You know what I mean? I know we want to get – when I talk about the Pacers, I talk about, like, but where's the winning at? Where is the, like, the, where we're floating in the 3 to 4 to 5 seed? We haven't seen that in a long time.
Right.
We haven't seen that. So is this the crew that's going to get that there? Don't tell me you're tanking for Victor Wembanyama. Don't tell me, right? Well, you know the Pacers. They'll. This is the year to tank for Victor Wembanyama, and they'll still draft Drew Timmy.
Hey, what was your? Right? Yeah, so it's just you're right. So we're going to continue to cover this team, and we're going to cover them. I'm going to write more. I'm going to write more on the team. Post on the website. I'm going to challenge Jonathan to kind of write up some stuff, so I can put it up on the website. I know.
Right.
But we're going to basically flood it all year with Pacers. And next year, they won't have the excuse to say we're not professionalism and the lack of professionalism. So they won't have the right to say that next year. And we love our Pacers. We're going to cover them. And, we'll kind of do. Disappointing, but it's motivation. So,
we'll keep it at that. They can still see us on the sidelines, Brandon. They can still check us on the sidelines in Muncie, the sidelines in West Lafayette.
We'll see him up there in December for the Indiana Classic with Purdue, Butler, Ball State, and whoever the other team is. It's not IU since they don't have Crossroads Classic anymore. Real quick, I saw a rumor with the Russell Westbrook and Pacers and Lakers all over again. It's not the Pacers. I think it's the Lakers just trying to put it out there to say, "Hey, we still want this." And the Pacers are like, "No, we're good, bro." Nobody gives a crap about a 2027 or 2029 first round pick right now, right? And especially to take a bad contract on when next year you're going to have $46 million in cap space right now for next year. Because you got Halliburton on a light contract as well. So I just think the Lakers, I saw the rumors and I said, are we doing this again? Like, I think it's just them talking to keep the conversation going. I think Indiana's, they're content. Sorry.
Yeah. Russell Westbrook will be traded. It just probably won't be at this point. It won't be for the packages and deal that Miles Turner, that, you know what I'm saying, and Buddy Hill, that everybody kind of rumored. Usually, Brandon, when is those trades ever that people, they get leaked out to the media? They never end up like exactly like that anyway. So I still think Russell Westbrook gets traded at some point this season, maybe closer to February than it is, you know, say November. I still think Miles Turner, even though he is playing well, he's got his foot in paint and he's, you know, say he's backing it down, right? As we speak, I think so at some point he doesn't end the season as a Pacer. But you know what I'm saying, the season's early right now. But you're probably on to something right there. It probably is the Lakers more so than anybody else that wants to get this deal done.
Yeah. Next week I will have my rankings, my predictions for the NBA for this next year. I'll have those out. Not sure yet. I got to see some more of this preseason. I got League Pass, so I've got Bally okay. Sports Plus, so I can watch the Pacers games, and then I bought League Pass as well, so I can watch the League Pass all season. So I am set to go. We'll be watching that, ready to roll. Let's go college football, John. Dive into that world.
Yeah.
How about them Purdue Boilermakers?
Man, Brandon, I lose my mind when all the experts, the professional experts, right? You name the show, college football, Fox, man, local over here, all the experts said Purdue didn't have a snowball chance in hell.
Yeah.
That Minnesota just too good at the wideout position. Minnesota just too good in the defensive backfield. Minnesota just too good, like, you know, row the boat. My guy should have went to Purdue. Like, you know, this should be a revenge game. He's going to run the score up on you. That didn't happen, Brandon. The exact opposite happened. Purdue, that's a big time. Like, that's the frustrating thing about Purdue. Purdue regime right now. Brandon, again, everybody's goal should be try to get to the national championship game. And so, however you can do that right now. Right now, only four teams can get there, right? Purdue, with the schedule they play, the Big Ten schedule they play, it's probably damn near impossible for them to go undefeated, right?
Right.
They say they went undefeated. They say they went undefeated in like the preseason play. Like, you know what I'm saying? They non-conference play. They went undefeated, right? It still would be hard for them if Purdue's good enough to go undefeated, right? Excuse me, Purdue's good enough to go undefeated preseason, and they say they got it. It feels like they can beat a Michigan that year, but then they won't necessarily beat like a Wisconsin or Iowa. I'm just picking on those teams. Usually those teams that beat Purdue. Iowa, Wisconsin this year stink. Imagine if Purdue, getting my point, Brent. Imagine Purdue had beat Syracuse in that close game. Look where they would be at. Right, you still took the L against Penn State, right? They already took the loss against Penn State. I do believe that's the first game of the year.
Yes.
But that was close too. You got to win it.
Yeah.
They got to figure out how to win these very close games in order to win the close game. That's what makes Bama coach separation from the rest. He can either blow you out, or he can play a real close game where, you know what I'm saying, he's using his timeouts, he's running the ball out. Like, you know, there it is. But, like, Purdue, man, you know, again, no dog in the fight. I love respect to those folks, we'll see them again on the sideline sometime this year, but they got to figure out how to win these close games, Brandon. And those type of things will propel them into, like, national-type conversation. You see what I'm saying? That's
uh-huh.
where they want to get started in the conversation. So, like, man, great, great. As far as this particular win against Minnesota, when Minnesota was favorite, I do believe Minnesota was ranked. And if not in the AP pool, in the coaches poll, I think they were in the 20s. But, like, no, a great big road victory for the Boilers, man, this weekend.
By the way, I'm a big fan of Aaron Nesmith. He just played two defensive possessions and caused them to have two 10-second violations. That is something. Or eight-second violations. That boy can play some defense.
Bandy.
I like what I see.
Yeah, bandy guy. And he can shoot.
Speaking of comebacks, John, I ain't going to lie. I saw Ball State down a ton at halftime. Thought it was a wrap. Put it on our picks as a loss. And I laid in bed Saturday night going through my phone on the scores, and I go, wait a minute. Ball State won the game? Holy cow. What a game.
Won the game against Northern Illinois, got the trophy back. They got a little – they got like a little MAC rivalry with Northern Illinois. If anybody doesn't know the program's history between Ball State and Northern Illinois, they have a little – like I said, they got a little rivalry. The trophy's back with – like I said, the trophy's back is it Schumann? Wherever. The trophy's back in the Ball State trophy case, man. But, like, no, man, it's a game that – it looked like if you were at half, like, dude, I could have seen myself leaving at halftime because they were down that much. But they battled back, and you know what I'm saying, great matching score. I think it was the end of the score, like 45 to 34, something
yeah.
crazy, or 38, something crazy like that, man. But, like, nah, Ball State, definitely, man, you know, it's a fighting little program. If folks aren't familiar, it's like, you know, pleasantly fighting little program, trying to get a little bit older out of here in the Midwest. Again, you know, kudos to them, at least for my picks, man, because, like, last couple weeks, man, Ball State has been like a dog for me, man. And, like, you know, I homer them because, like, you know, it's the alma mater. But, like, man, no, great victory for Ball State this weekend against Northern Illinois. Great, 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 great victory.
Yeah, huge victory there. Hoosiers, John. Hoosiers lost to Nebraska 35-21. Big Red beat them.
Yeah, you wasn't surprised. I was.
I wasn't surprised.
I thought they had a little more fight into them like that. This was, again, if you're a middle of the road program like IU is, right? You know what I mean? This is the year, as far as Big Ten is concerned, that, you know, Iowa was nobody this year. Nebraska is nobody this year. Illinois is still, you know, a little bit of somebody, but this, you know, it's a pleasant program this year. IU should be able to beat this team. IU should be able to beat Nebraska in Nebraska. Tom
Not
Allen, you know what I'm saying?
Is his feet hot?
No. No. You know what? You know his contract buyout is like something crazy. He's got the second highest contract buyout in the nation. You know that?
Oh my God!
Tom Allen's buyout is like double digits.
He finessed it then.
Somehow, some way. Yeah, he did. But yeah, his team's not hot. Not at all.
Okay. Bama, Arkansas, John, that game I thought was going to be a good one, and Alabama just rolled over Arkansas. They lost their boy, the QB, Bryce Young, out with injury, but the backup came in and just ran all over Arkansas.
Yeah, that's what happens, man. When Alabama has to show their depth, they got next man up, who's probably just, I mean, Bryce Young was a five-star. Their backup was probably no less than a three, right? So, Alabama, you know, Bryce Young, and, you know, I don't know the extent of his injury. I didn't get the full report on it. I don't know when he's winning or if the timetable for him to come back. But as long as he's not severely injured, I'm sure he'll be back at some point during this season. But, like, yeah, it's next man up with Alabama. Arkansas, did they show some fight in the first quarter? Maybe. I think, if, you know, showed a little bit. Like, you know, so this is what it could be if Arkansas just had a little bit more push. But just not enough offense for Arkansas. Not enough offense, and Alabama, you know, saying took them to the woodshed. I will say this: that Arkansas, I do believe is ranked. Is it top two? Or it might be top five. I don't know. Shame on me.
Right.
Shame on me for not having exact notes, man. They're top five in defense, like going after getting quarterbacks, man. So it wasn't surprising me that they put a licks on it, man, because, again, they got some guys we're probably going to see in the next two, three seasons, we're going to see the next level. Oh, maybe that kid who went to Arkansas, that's what it's going to be, right? But the problem is they didn't have enough offense, nor did they have enough offense. Somebody like, you know, the high-power offense, octane offense that Alabama has, you know what I'm saying? So there you go, took the loss. Alabama is top two in the nation.
Georgia survives, John. They were losing for 58 minutes of the game.
There's no way you really thought the Missouri Tiger, anything in Missouri Tiger.
2 weeks in a row, Georgia's laid an egg. Are you concerned?
Yeah, that was a little too close for comfort, man. And I'm not just talking about for the degenerate sports bettors who probably, what was that score, like 22-26? That was the final score, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I took Georgia in the at halftime. Money line and spread to win. No, the end of the third quarter, I took a money line and spread. They were still losing, so I won on both of those. There was no way they were going to lose to Missouri. No way.
Right, but they should have been a double-digit blowout. They should have blew out Missouri.
They should have been. Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know. So you think there's anything cause for concern there?
I don't think so. I think they just maybe get stagnant a little bit. I think Kirby will get them to right the ship. I think they'll correct it. It's not just a 1 week fluke. Now it's two in a row. So I think they're going to, I think they'll regroup from this, but You can't have that when you're going up against some of the powerhouses you get towards the end of the season.
No.
So
right.
You got to get that fixed.
Right.
That, and, right. And it reflects. It reflects in my standings. You, in our top tens, you still have Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, USC, Tennessee, Oklahoma State, and Penn State. I moved Alabama to number one after beating a top 10 Arkansas team. Ohio State 2, Georgia, I dropped him to 3, Clemson 4, Michigan 5, USC 6, Oklahoma State, Tennessee, and I'm giving love to Ole Miss. They're 5-0. I've got them at 9. They had a big win over Kentucky this past week, which we'll talk about with our picks, because I think me and Tanner, at least, I think we both took – I think we took them. Let's see. I took Ole Miss to win, but they didn't cover the spread. You guys took Kentucky to cover the spread. So you guys got on that one. We got Tanner on hold. We'll bring him on in a minute. Two last things I have.
Sure.
Oklahoma is dead, John. It's over.
Damn.
Venables, it's over this year. They're dead.
It is.
Complete ass whooping they took. Secondly, Clemson. Clear path, John, to the college football playoff now. They beat the top two teams in the ACC. They beat the top two teams. It's a clear path for them all the rest of the way.
So I want to bring Tanner on. So, but what does that mean? Dude, what does that mean? Michigan, Ohio State, the winner of that wins, gets to go?
Yep.
So,
and then
is the Pac-12?
You still have Georgia?
Pac-
no. I think so unless Georgia flips. I think you got Bama, Georgia, whoever wins between Ohio State and Michigan, and then Clemson. Clemson doesn't have a tough match. Yeah, I said early beginning of the season one of my hot takes was Miami, but Jesus, Miami just lost to whoever.
Brandon, how will people view when USC plays Notre Dame if Notre Dame is technically like a 23 or 24? And USC
I don't know.
Is like,
I don't think it's enough. They needed Notre Dame to be in the top 12 for that.
In order for them to jump up?
Yes.
You think so? Okay.
They can run
Notre
the
Dame.
Table they want. The problem is the ACC with NC State and Wake Forest,
Brandon,
I don't see them losing anymore.
They also could get a Utah. Utah's going to jump back up.
They could. Utah's going to jump back up.
Right. Utah, I have, as you can see, I have Utah in my top 10. So if USC beats Notre Dame, I rank Notre Dame, and I ranked, it could mess up. It could really mess up some things, but they need, that's a lot of things they need to have to happen for them. They need Notre Dame to be ranked at the time of the said ass whooping.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, I was looking at it. Clemson's played the two toughest teams left that's going to give them some issues, and it was NC State and Wake Forest. They played them in back-to-back weeks.
But in your mind, you're pinning in two SEC teams, no problem. There's
unless we get another flop by Georgia, because then if they flop in a game and then they play Bama in the championship, SEC championship, and lose, then they're definitely out. That's two losses,
Brandon,
you're out.
Brandon, they the champs though. Don't they get kudos? Don't they get a little style points for that?
No, nah, this ain't the BCS rankings anymore.
Oh man, bring Taylor on, man.
I'll bring him on. Here's Clemson's schedule. They've got Boston College. I know we talked about with Tanner going to the Boston College is a little tough.
They'll
beat them.
If they play Syracuse this year, they're gonna be scary.
So they play at the following week. They play at Florida State. Florida State's good. They're good, but they ain't Clemson good.
No, they ain't Clemson good enough.
So I see a win there. They're home against Clemson. Or, excuse me, they're home against Syracuse.
It's a
home game. I think they're going to win. I think they'll beat them. They're at Notre Dame. So maybe you get Notre Dame's best. But I still think Clemson's mediocre is better than Notre Dame's best. They're home against Louisville, and then they're home against the U. It's easy for them. They're in. And then the ACC championship. I think it's a guaranteed wash. They've beaten two top 12 ranked teams in their conference. They're in.
Right. They beat North Carolina State. Right.
Yep. Let me bring our guy on here. Tanner, what do you think? Do you think Clemson's in now? They had two big top 12 wins?
I mean, they're probably – They're definitely looking in now. I'm just trying to – they're ranked fifth. I'm looking at their schedule now.
Brandon, while Terrence is saying, is anybody undefeated right now in Big 12 play? Oklahoma State is.
Yeah, Oklahoma State. But they're going to cancel themselves out. They'll probably lose to Kansas State.
Kansas State's
good.
Yeah.
I almost took their over under.
And Kansas this year is scary.
It's Kansas. We're not believers in that, are we?
They're going to a bowl game.
Hey, I mean, let's look who they beat. Tennessee Tech.
Kansas is going to a bowl game.
Yeah, they beat Tennessee Tech. They won at West Virginia. Okay, they won at Houston. They beat Duke, who's terrible.
That's
and they
a
beat
good game,
Iowa
man.
State.
Brandon, don't poo-poo that Houston win. That's a big win, dude.
Yes,
I know. This is it for me. This week. This is my prove it week. I will believe in Kansas if they win at home this week.
Who they got this week?
Number 17, TCU.
Oh yeah,
that's a winnable game for them. That's a winnable game for Kansas. I don't know if Kansas can win that this year.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson's got some challenges. They still got to go. They got two. You got to go. Florida State's no easy place to play. I don't know what Notre Dame team they're going to get, but they got to go at Notre Dame. So, and then they got Miami. I mean, they're in right now, but I don't think their schedule favors them any. They don't have cupcakes the rest of the way.
I think it favors them.
They don't have cupcakes. Well, Tanner, does that mean, do you have in your mind, right, do you have two SEC teams automatically in?
Not automatically, no.
Now, the issue is, where is Tennessee? Right now, Tennessee is undefeated, too, but I do believe they don't play Alabama this year. I think they play Georgia.
Yeah, they do. They play Alabama the week the MU-DCOT and everybody are meeting up in 2 weeks.
They always play them. That's like a little rivalry, so they play them every time.
2 weeks
Even
away.
Even though they're on opposite sides, they play them every time.
That should be our raising game now because
I'll tell you the game
not Tennessee.
I'll tell you the game. When Georgia has to play Kentucky, they're going to have their hands full.
Okay.
And they play Tennessee as well.
So if they lose that game, they're going to have to beat Alabama. They're the champ.
If they don't beat Alabama in that SEC championship game, they out.
Okay.
Let me read it for you. So they got Auburn, home against Auburn, home against Vandy, home against Florida, home against number 8 Tennessee, and then they're at Mississippi State, who's ranked. They're at Kentucky, who's ranked, and then they're home against Georgia Tech. So they got three tough ones.
That game at Kentucky is going to be I don't care what the point spread is in that game, I'm taking Kentucky all day.
But wait a minute. So, what if they lose? What if Alabama and Georgia lose not necessarily this weekend, right? What if they lose a different game?
Oh, say they both have one losses and they're going in against each other in the SEC championship? Only one team's getting in?
Well, yeah, I agree.
What if the one team ain't Alabama?
They're getting in. They're going to tell you right now, I don't see a team getting in there.
Because they're going to put an undefeated USC in there before they put a two-loss SEC team in there. Believe that.
USC's got to do the deal, though. They got
to
be.
They got to go to Utah in 2 weeks.
That's going to be their hardest game.
I get that, but if they run the tables, they're going to get in there.
They also got to go to UCLA. They got to go to UCLA on November 19th. I know they're on the slide.
They're going to play in front of 12 people down there in the Rose Bowl because UCLA can't even put anything in there except for student managers.
They're 5-0.
That game's going to be probably big shit. That game's going to be big shit because that's the
it's going to be packed with Trojan fans and Marcus Allen and Will Ferrell and every USC alumni going to be in there. They're going to have front-row passes because UCLA can't sell the ticket.
They're going to give the trophy, Heisman Trophy back to Reggie Bush that night.
All right. Hey, boys, let's recap. Let's recap some of the games from last week. Last week, I went 6-3. Jonathan went 6-3. Tanner went 5-4. Overall records are 23-20-2 is what I am. Jonathan, 17-26-2. You're starting to make it up. Tanner is 22-21-2. One game back of me, just over 500. Tanner, I told Jonathan last week as I was going through our games last Saturday night and kind of marking them, I saw the Ball State game at halftime. I chucked that up to a loss, and I laid in bed about 11:30 watching some Pac-12 football, and I looked at my phone going through scores, and I saw Ball State came back and won. I said, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was unreal. They came back, and then I got backdoored in that Arkansas game. They should have covered that season.
Yeah, but you got backdoored on there. I had Oklahoma State covering. Baylor.
They played good.
We both had – all three of us had Wake. Freaking Ole Miss, I said they'd win the game, damn it. They just didn't cover. That was another backdoor I lost on last week.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to ask. There were some questions on Twitter over the week. Are the Boilermakers back in your good graces now?
Hell no. I'm taking Maryland today -3.5.
Don't
even ask me.
Oh.
I'm taking Toto's little brother.
That game's on the road.
Purdue's on the road.
I don't like it on the road.
So, we'll go ahead and dive right into the picks. Tanner's taking Maryland -3.5. I should have checked to make sure these were actually updated correctly.
I think that Minnesota missing that lead running back smoked them last week. They didn't have Ibrahim, and man, he's their muscle back there, and that killed him. But yeah. Purdue played well, but I just thought how Maryland hung in there against Michigan on the road out there, played them really well. I think Maryland's they're inflating that win for Purdue on the road in this spread at 3.5. I think Maryland gets them by Tutter.
It is 3. We'll move the spread from 3.5 to 3. It's updated. Tanner's taking Maryland -3. I'm going to take Maryland -3 as well. I think Purdue's it's house money that they got the first one on the road. I don't think they get the second one here. Maryland's played better. I'm going Maryland as well. Jonathan?
Yeah, Maryland looked real decent against Michigan, even though they lost.
Yep.
Kind of just came down to, like, who made the plays, man. So I don't necessarily think the world of Michigan as far as them, you know what I'm saying, as far as the national championship is, you know what I mean, whatever. But again, I think Maryland, they've leveled up this year. They're a better team this year. I ain't about to mark out with y'all and go with Maryland, though, man. I'm not doing that, man. If Purdue can get Hulk up like Hulk Hogan did against King Kong Bundy at WrestleMania 2, and Hulk up and tear their, you know what I'm saying, and beat Maryland on the road, the college, they'll put them back in the top 25.
And the West is theirs at that point because Wisconsin's trash.
Right.
Oh, they're bad.
I think they get it done.
That Big Ten championship game might as well just not even happen this year. It's going to be awful.
He gets it done, man. He does that, man. His name might get bantied about going to join the SEC team. For real. But I think you know, man. Give me Purdue, man. I'm taking Purdue this week.
The trains are horned. The train horn's going. We've got Purdue for Jonathan. Ball State and the David Letterman. What?
I'm going to text Jonathan at 3 o'clock, see if he's still how he's feeling on Saturday.
Hey, I'm going to be 3 sheets to the wind this weekend. I leave Friday morning for my bachelor party down in Nashville, playing golf and going out in Nashville. So I don't know how much of the games I'll be watching, but I'll be putting my bets in before in.
You should see a Vanderbilt at home and hit a hammer and tailgate for about 2 seconds pregame that golf game.
All right. Yeah. Ball State and the Fighting David Lettermans are on the road at Central Michigan. Central Michigan, 8-point favorite. Jonathan, we'll go you first.
Oh, it's went down.
Wasn't nine. It's down to 8 now.
I like Central Michigan in that, man. Ball State.
Oh.
Ball State hasn't shown they can be road warriors. Ball State at home, different little animal, man. Ball State on the road. They don't necessarily travel well.
Didn't they beat Northern Illinois at Northern Illinois?
No, it was at home.
No, game was a month.
Okay.
Yeah. It was at the old Schumann Stadium.
Okay. Tanner, your pick?
I feel like money's coming in on the cards. That's always a good sign when I see that. I'm gonna take Ball State. I mean, Central's been in there. They played a tough schedule. I knew they played two tarred teams. Yeah. They went and hung in there with Oklahoma State. They played at Penn State. Two hard places to play.
Yep.
They did take a loss to South Alabama, but, man, I've been taking South Alabama in some bets, and they've actually are kind of impressive. They're 4-1, so that's beside the point. But they got beat by Toledo bad. So I'm going to go Ball State. I think they might have figured something out. Coach Stu might have figured something out at halftime. So give me the Cardinals and the 8 points. I like it. I'm getting over a touchdown. I'll go Cardinals this week.
Yeah, I'm going to take Ball State as well. The money's going their way. It was in -9. Now it's at 8. The money in Vegas are going to the Cards. Give me Ball State. Let's go. Cover that touchdown.
Chirp, chirp, baby.
Number 8, Tennessee, -3 at LSU. Brian Kelly and taking on the Vols down there at Death Valley. Tanner, you're up first. Tennessee, -3 at LSU.
I was hoping this was a night game and I would have been all over LSU.
Well,
one of the hardest places
starts.
To play in.
My God.
I know it. I don't know how. Man, I was hoping for like a 7:30 night game in LSU because that would have been really good. They're covering Warriors when they're home dogs. LSU, I wish it was 3.5 because then I really would take LSU. Brian Kelly, it's really his first big-time matchup in at home.
Day game. If it was night game, I would take LSU.
I
like
know.
Crazy.
If it was night game, maybe these hillbillies will still be drunk and won't show up. Oh! Give me Tennessee, Rocky Top one time. They got this. I'm hoping for a push. Rocky Top wins by 3. So
I'm gonna take Tennessee as well, -3. If it was a night game, I would take LSU +3. But since it's during the day,
me too.
Them Crocodile boys ain't up yet that early. So sneaky bet, Tanner. I'm gonna take though over 65. I like it.
Yeah, I like that. I like the over net. They're probably gonna score points.
Yeah, for sure.
Well,
Jonathan,
I like that.
Yeah, you might as well make it a clean sweep, man. Give me Tennessee.
Clean sweep. I mean, we hit on a couple clean sweeps last week, so.
Yeah, I actually betted that with Forrest on the money line last week. I loved it.
Yep. All right,
when
boys.
Against Florida State, yeah.
It ain't what it used to be, but the Red River Shootout, Texas -7 against Oklahoma. I'll go first on this one. Texas -7. They started out when I got the odds on Monday. It was -4. It's down up to -7. Oh, man. I think Oklahoma, they got kicked in the mouth. Texas, is yours back? I'm not sure. I'm going to take Oklahoma, keeps it close within a touchdown. I'll take the Sooners, but I don't like it. I think they cover.
You know
Jonathan.
What?
I like Texas in this matchup, man, but it's like this game, this used to be a real important game. This used to be like a game that had higher stakes than just the Big 12 championship, and this just does not have these type of stakes. This Oklahoma's reeling right now. They started off hot this season, but Oklahoma in the last 2 weeks has looked like trash. You know what I mean? Texas, they played Alabama to a standstill, man, and you thought that it was going to be a little bit better, man, but they haven't necessarily looked like some a dominating football team, you know. I think Texas, you know what I'm saying, figures it out. I think they got the better program, the better players, rather. That running back, I think he lives in end zone this weekend. So give me Texas.
Okay. Tanner?
Man, if that Ewers dude was playing, I for sure would take Texas. He's from what I saw quick from him, he's the man. But he's day-to-day or something BS like that, so I don't know if he's playing. So on that note alone, give me Oklahoma. I think they got to right the ship soon. They got to get it back. They got embarrassed the last 2 weeks. After putting an ass-whooping on Nebraska, I mean, I know it's Nebraska, but still, that team hasn't been the same since. I mean, I've never thought Oklahoma as a defensive team. If we could pick one thing in this game, I'd probably take the over 65.5. They're probably going to score a lot of points in this game. It's always a shootout. It's always like 41-34 or something. It's got to be up there.
Right.
Just give me Boomer Sooner. I'll take them. I feel like it's always closer than what it is.
Yeah, I
agree.
They
always play. It's always within a touchdown. So if I'm getting 7, and the worst thing I'd lose is a push. Yeah, I'll take. Give me Sooners.
Okay. Well, Tanner, through the first 4 picks, me and you are together. We've taken the same thing together. So we're either going to have a good day or a bad day. We'll see. Jonathan,
right.
You're up first on this one. Number 4, Michigan. 22.5 point favorites, 3 touchdowns and more favorites going to IU. Jonathan, Jim Harbaugh coming to Bloomington. Do they cover? Do they win?
Do they win? Stop it. Michigan blows these dudes out, man. It ain't going to be no mercy killing either. You know what I mean? I think he they don't cover at all. Give me Michigan. You can't cover that.
I'm with him, too. I'll snap call this. I think Indiana, I mean, they're going to probably hang for a little bit, but I think Michigan won. They're going to run that rock probably right down their damn throat. And I think that Michigan defense, after what I saw, how they put the clamps on, I'm not saying I was any good, but they clamped them down. The D's good. And for them to put as much offense up on Iowa for what their defense is pretty good too. So, and Indiana's defense not even close to Iowa. So, yeah, I know it's a lot, but, yeah, give me Harbaugh. Give me the Wolverines and the points. I'll lay them.
Okay. I'm going to take Michigan as well. I think they curb stomp them, Seth Rollins style. And it may be within 2 touchdowns, and then the third quarter there's going to be like a pick 6, and then everything's going to kind of open up. I think Michigan's got something to prove in this game. Yeah, they won last week, a kind of nasty game against Iowa, but I think this they're kind of going for some style points. They need some style point wins. I think this is one where they can get it coming to Indiana. I think they stomp them. So all 3 of us are on Michigan. Sorry, Bloomington faithful. Tanner, number 12, Utah, -4 at UCLA. Undefeated UCLA.
I got UCLA in the points. Give me them. Chip Kelly's played really good. Is that where he's at? Is he at UCLA? Right?
Yes.
Oh, I don't want to step out of bounds. I thought that was right. Yeah, he's looked really impressive. They're good. They've been covering as home dogs. They looked really good last week against Washington. Real good. I think he's got them playing well. I think Utah might, but at 4, I think Utah's going to win this by single digits. But I think UCLA can cover that 4. So yeah, give me UCLA +4.
Okay. I'm going to take Utah -4. I think Utah, this is kind of one of theirs. They want to get to where they got to go. They got to beat some of these undefeated teams. They want to give themselves a showdown with USC. You got to get past UCLA. I think they cover. I think they win by 5 or six. I'm taking Utah on this one. This is our first one we've went against each other. Jonathan, who you like?
Yeah, I do like the progression that UCLA has shown the last this season. Utah, however, has rebounded since losing early on to Florida. They've got their legs underneath them, man. It's gonna be a real interesting game. It's gonna be close. I think Utah is up for the challenge. Like, give me Utah.
Okay. The next one, number 19, BYU, the Mormons are against the Catholics. Notre Dame, 3.5-point favorites, and the game is being played in Las Vegas. So
I'm
we got the Mormons that. And the Catholics in Las Vegas. It makes no sense, this line, to me. No sense whatsoever. Notre Dame is the favorites of a BYU team that looks better. 3.5 points? Ah, my goodness. I've gone back and forth. Notre Dame's looking a little bit better, but you still got a backup quarterback. It's still BYU. If I'm getting 3.5, they lose by 3, I still win this bet. I'm taking BYU plus the 3.5.
Wow.
I'm rolling with you, Reef, too. Storming Mormons, baby. Give me the Storming Mormons down there in Sin City. I think they're giving too much credit for Notre Dame lately.
Yeah.
As much as I love Notre Dame. I mean, BYU's look good. I mean, they did get throttled at Oregon. That's a tough place to play, but they've held their own. They beat a Baylor team at home. I think on a neutral site kind of favors them. I know Notre Dame fans travel well, but BYU
mm-hmm.
not far from Las Vegas, so their fans are going to go there too.
Sure.
Casinos don't expect them to gamble much, but they'll be down there shouting for them and hollering. So I think BYU can – 3.5. If Notre Dame wins this game, it's going to be close. So, I think BYU in the points is the play.
I'm going with Notre Dame, man. I think Notre Dame – I don't think BYU can stop them from running the ball. I think that's going to be one of the keys to their victory. I think by the end of the game, Notre Dame is going to have more rushing yards than they've had in any other game against BYU. BYU, they're going to challenge Notre Dame secondary. Because that BYU is, you know, that's what they're known for, aerial assault, right? And they ain't too shabby themselves on the turf, on the run with their rushing game, right? So, but I give me Notre Dame, man. Notre Dame in a close one. Defensively, they'll figure it out how to shut them down. I like Notre Dame.
Okay. Number 17, Texas A&M at number 1, Alabama. Jimbo against Nick Saban. They trash talked. They said it's over. Alabama, 24-point favorites against Texas A&M. Tanner,
oh, man.
You're first.
Wow.
Oh, man.
24.
You know,
there's no way.
This was 14 weeks leading up to it.
24? Bryce Young's not playing?
Is that official?
He's not playing?
I'm just speculation.
Let me look it up.
If he is playing, I can see it. But I don't think Alabama's 24 points better than – I don't think they're heads and heels that much better than Texas A&M. And I'm not saying Texas A&M, they've shown some improvement over the last 3 weeks.
Day-to-day. No decision would be made. So that's going to make our picks a little bit tougher.
Right.
You know what?
I'm
going to go Bama. I think Saban's a little mad at the shit the fucking old Jimbo might have talked there. This might be the one game where Saban puts the fucking foot on the throat and absolutely lets him have it. So
okay.
I'm going to go Saban in this game. And if they got a sour taste in their mouth from last year losing down there. Yep. I'm going to go Roll Tide in this one.
I'm going to take Alabama, too, minus the 24, only because, like you said, he's got something to say for what happened last year. They lost to him last year. Jimbo mouthed off after the game and in the offseason about the NIL. It's 24. Arkansas, they got their asses blown out by Alabama last week, and I think Arkansas is a better team than Texas A&M. So with that being said, give me Alabama minus the 24.
I've been to Bryant-Denny Stadium. That 105,000 is going to be loud in there.
Hey, by the way, we need to go down there sometime, me and you.
Okay, I'm in.
We need to plan a trip. I need to get down there.
I got a little connection on some picks we can get.
I thought you did. So yeah, I want to plan that for next season.
Yeah.
Next year, let's get to a game.
All right, I'm good for that.
Jonathan, your pick.
Give me Texas A&M. They're gonna go neck and neck with Alabama.
Oh,
give me Texas A&M.
Oh.
All right, and then the last one, Jonathan, will let you start it. It's gonna be a good one. Number 23, Florida State. At number 10, NC State. NC State is 3-point favorites.
Man, I know Brandon. You are higher. You're a little bit higher on NC State, and they look better. This is definitely a different NC State team. They're definitely bowl bound. All those good things, man. Florida State, them this weekend. Ooh, for all the marbles, give me NC State because I think they're the better team this year.
Tanner?
All right, I'll hit you with a couple stats, and we'll just see where we're going here. Well, NC State 6-0 coming off against the spread, coming off a loss since the start of 2020. So there's a little thing with that, and then here's the one I like the most. Since the start of 2005, NC State is 14-3 against the spread against Florida State. But Florida State is 4-0 against the spread in their last four games as an underdog, and 3-0 against the spread in their last three road games. But even with that note, I like the Wolfpack. I think they played well against – they tried to hang – I think Clemson still has a good D. They didn't get many points up. But I think NC State will get that ground game going. The over is only 52. It'll probably go over that. But I like NC State covering that. Give me the Wolfpack in this game.
Damn it. I was hoping you guys would go the other way. I've got NC State as well covering it. I love your stats. So that's going to be a great one I take. Looking forward to it, boys. We've got ourselves a full slate, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games on the docket again this week that we're picking on. Tanner, we have all of them but one. That we agree upon.
Oh, no.
The Utah-UCLA game. That'll be the difference. Either we'll be tied or I'll still have a one-game lead.
I was doing stuff. What do you guys think about tomorrow? Do you think Colts – I think somehow Colts probably win. These games where the Colts aren't supposed to win, they win. They might win tomorrow.
I told them. I said I took money on them against the – I took the spread and money line against the Chiefs. This is another spot. I took Colts plus 3.5 and the money line for tomorrow night. Backs against the wall.
As much as I think they should get smoked for some odd reason, I think they stay in that game tomorrow, and I don't even – that's all I got. I don't have really anything
You think my Steelers can stay within 14? They haven't been 14-point underdogs in over 26 years.
I think they made the right move with putting Kenny Pickett back there, but
I think they can cover the 14. They'll play an ugly game. They beat Buffalo up in Buffalo last year. Not saying they're going to do it this year, but
if I had a two-team 6-point teaser for Sunday, I'd take the Packers down to 2 points, and I'd take the Bucks down to 2.5. Packers at home against the Giants. Bucks at home against the Falcons. Packers would be minus 2. Bucks would be 2.5. That's my two team. If I did a little teaser, I like that. Or you can even throw the Vikings in there because I think they're going to absolutely dog walk the Bears on Sunday.
Nice. Any thoughts on who we like World Series?
I put in this the other day on screen. I put in the Cardinal. I'm a Yanks fan. But I put in the Cardinals at plus 2,200, the Eagles to win the Super Bowl and the Niner, and then the Tar Heels to win it all. I put $100 three-team future parlay. Hunter pays $207,000. That's what I got in.
Okay, I had the Cardinals plus. I had them plus. I had a plus 800 middle of the season for them to win the World Series.
Yep.
And just because they have the toughest road, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna root for them since I don't have a dog in the fight since my Reds got their 100th loss today. In the season, I got the Mets at plus 900. I'm going to put a little money on the Mets. Maybe they can get some magic. I know it's got tough because they got to take on a hot Padres team. And if they win that, they got to take on a Dodgers team that's the best team in baseball. If they win that, they got to most likely take on either the Braves or the Cardinals before you even get to the World Series. I'll put a little bit on the Mets at plus 900. And on the American League side, I think the Yankees come out of the American League. I'd love a Subway Series. Would love it.
I know. I'm glad Judge got that home run out of the way so he got that record by himself.
I am,
but
too,
I'm
for my
biased.
Best.
But I'm glad.
I took it every freaking night.
Right. And here's one last little thing. I know basketball's around the corner. What do you think about – I don't know if you guys talked about it yet, but they're trying to get that Kentucky-Indiana rivalry started back up.
Oh, not while Coach Cal's there.
No, it's in there. I'll send you the link after here to both of you guys. There's Coach Cal's the one that brought it up.
Well, as Jonathan being an IU fan, he don't want that. He don't want that smoke. You don't want that smoke.
But I want it. It's got to be home and home. I don't want no neutral site thing. I want them to have to play in Assembly Hall, and I want them to have to play in Corrupt Arena both ways.
Right, yeah. That'd be tough. You could write.
Yeah, I don't want them to have to play in Louisville and then have to play in...
Have them play at Mackey.
Lakers Life.
Have them play at Mackey? Oh, wow.
Yeah, as the neutral site. That's
my There's your neutral site just, for you. And then have them play down the other game. Have them play down at the Yum Center.
Yeah. That's where they normally used to play it, I think.
To say they're stupid enough, they probably would play the game there.
Yeah. Oh, I just wanted to throw those in there. I know basketball's around the corner. I got those tickets refar ready for North Carolina at Assembly Hall November 30th. Don't expect me to be on here on that day because I will be down there getting after it in Assembly Hall. It's on Wednesday.
Sounds good. Who are you cheering for? Because you like both teams.
I'm going in there in that Carolina blue heavy, son.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Last thing I got for you, T. What are we expecting with your Bulls this year? They don't got Lonzo.
Well, yeah, for a couple. Yeah, but I think Goran Dragic, good backup. He can control that part for him. They'll be all
right. Him and his 48-year-old bones?
Yeah, I think they'll be all right. I like them. They're not going to win. I think everything goes through Giannis and them over there in Milwaukee. But I'm giving. They'll be in there, 5-seed, right around there, 5-6.
Okay.
They'll be there.
All right. Well, Tanner, best
I like the core.
Okay.
Yeah.
Best of luck on your picks this weekend, my brother. Keep in contact with us on Twitter.
Thank
I'll do my best being in Nashville. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, have fun. Have fun. Come back so we can keep this show going. Jonathan, always a pleasure.
Absolutely.
And we'll catch up next week, or we'll stay in touch through social media, fellas.
Sounds good. All Take care, Tanner.
Yeah, pretty right.
All right. John. I want to thank our sponsor, Scott Nichols State Farm Insurance. Great, great, great sponsor of ours. Wiseman Logistics as well. Delivery service, if you need it, get it from them. They're hiring, as always. We're getting ready to get in the holiday season. My goodness, the holidays are here. And then also, I think our sponsor, Mavericks Custom Motorsports down in Miami. Thank you to all three of our sponsors, Scott Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Maverick Custom Motorsports, and Wiseman Logistics. Without you guys, without you three, we could not do what we do. So thank you for supporting us and our professionalism. And maybe, just maybe, these other organizations will see that and catch on. So Right. With that said, John, hold on, we're getting botted. We getting botted on the Facebook stream like JMV.
Is it really?
Yeah, we got somebody botting about NFL games. By the way, I heard JMV's comment with Rick Carlisle that apparently last week or so, Bird and Carlisle are down at Larry Bird's ranch in Nashville, Indiana, and they had the JMV takeover on.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Bird listening to the JMV takeover. I love it. I haven't watched House of the Dragon yet from this past week. I haven't watched it. I'm behind on stuff. I haven't watched that. Your boy's back tonight on Chucky season 2 is back tonight. I know you're pumped for that.
Okay. Sure.
Have you watched the season premiere, Walking Dead?
Brandon, it's like I can't get back into it.
What?
I can't.
Oh,
dude,
my.
You
have to. Come on. This is the final 8 episodes.
I just finished. I know. I watched the first episode. It was okay.
Okay. I did too.
I like the
cliffhanger.
Walking Dead needs to end, period. Walking Dead pales in comparison to... I finished Game of Thrones. I finished it. I finished all 9 seasons.
Oh, my God.
Or 8. Yeah, or 8 seasons. However many seasons. I finished it. It pales in comparison.
I heard.
Yeah, it did. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. No spoilers here, even though it's already out.
I haven't watched
it.
So.
If anybody's ever watched, you need to watch Game of Thrones. It's a really good show. Brandon, like I gave the show a C minus, man. I fell asleep on it.
Okay.
I fell asleep on episode 2. I got to rewatch episode 2.
Well, I haven't watched the new next one yet, so I will be watching it, though, here soon. So looking forward to that. Is there anything else besides my normal shows watching? No, I think that's about it. John, do you have anything before we finish? Any words for the Colts fans,
man,
tomorrow?
No, man. Colts fans, stay united, man. They're losing their mind after what is it, for the culture, Stan P. Blue, on some of those little Twitter hangouts, man. They're losing their mind out there, man. The Colts are gonna be fine. I think they'll win this game. You know what I'm saying? So both teams are banged up. Just wrap it up, Brandon. The guy? How could we not mention the guy just hit 62 home runs? He just broke the record last night.
Darren Judge,
Darren Judge, man. How could we not mention that as well, man? And then Brandon, Atlanta won the division. Remember when they were like 11 games out?
Yeah,
I thought they won the division, man. So like, man, baseball. This is really a feel good. I know we don't really talk a whole lot, hell of a lot of baseball.
It's the best time.
All across sports, also, but this is the best time. And this is a lot of feel good stories going into this season, man. Seattle Mariners haven't been to the postseason in like 13 or 14 to 14 seasons. And they're back with the team. Again, Aaron Judge, if he ain't going to be a Yankee next year, he's going to be paid big time for some team out west next year, man. So, again, he's on a magical, a historical run, even though the record's already been broken. And I don't want to get to those politics, but, like, no, man, this is a great time. Preseason basketball, I'm not going to lose my mind about preseason basketball. But, you know, it's competitive. It's good to see what kind of product, you know what I'm saying, your team has out there, you know what I'm saying, what your team potentially going to look like after, you know what I'm saying. Now, I understand there's going to be a wall that's going to be hit around January with everybody. But, you know what I'm saying, there's hype, you know what I'm saying, with teams right now. Everybody's undefeated, you know what I mean? That's how you look at your NBA preseason. But, like, no, man, great time to be a sports fanatic, you know what I'm saying? That's why me and Brandon are here to help you all navigate it through. We, again, Brandon, thank our sponsors, man. I want to double that. I want to double that, triple that, you know what I'm saying, quadruple that as well. And say thank you as well to our listeners, man, and folks who, you know what I'm saying, tweet back and forth with us, man. So great. Brandon, another great show, man. Outside of that, man, I want to say thanks to everybody for listening.
Pacers up 16 at halftime. Looking great. Professionalism. Indiana Pacers, we love you. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.